Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to A Water Night, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network, where joining me, Sean Walsh, is the returning Jude Summerfield.
I am returning.
You are back.
I'm here.
You did not participate in yesterday's podcast.
Nah, I saw the people involved and gave it a quick a quick rain check.
You can if you like, but I won't be there.
Nah, the plan is to do them, you know how like you save up a few episodes of your favourite series and then watch them at the final day? It'll be like that.
So you haven't listened to it yet?
No, I didn't know it was happening. I mean, I got messaged by, genuinely, one of my mates messaged me saying, like, you're not on the latest pod.
Oh, really? Oh, we've got listeners. Great. That's always good to hear.
Dara, if you're out there. It's got an Irish name. Tough.
What can you do about
it? What can you do? But yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Good to know you haven't listened to it yesterday. We did a lot of slagging off of you, so.
Really?
Not really.
Good to,
you won't know, so.
I won't. It's just nice to know I live rent free.
Yeah, exactly. Now it was good to talk to some of the guys from the 90 Min Network about what the view of Spurs is across Europe. It's just as well, because I was going to talk to someone here who's Dutch, but he wasn't in yesterday, about Arne Slot and what he would have brought to Spurs. Luckily, that didn't happen.
Is that irrelevant now? I can never.
It would have been out of date very quickly. News came out this morning. Arne Slot will not be the new head coach of Tottenham Hotspur. He is going to stay at Feyenoord for, sounds like, a couple more years at least. It's beginning to feel very 2021 in here.
Yeah, it is. Conte's back in March, isn't it? So we're sort of getting close to 60 days.
Yeah, someone did the maths earlier. I think June 6th is the cut-off point to make sure that it's not as long. We're running out of time, really.
We are running.
It's May 25th recording this.
I'd like to see what the cumulative total for days Tottenham have been without a manager is over the last 2 years. Christ. You think about it, Conte sacked it off quite early because of a surgery.
Spurs must have known for much longer that he was going to go as well. You have factored that in.
It's funny though. And I suppose the fella had to choose whether to slot or not to slot and... chose the latter.
I know there are guys out there who are ready with stickers like Arne Slot and the slot machine of the trophies in it. I know that they were ready to go plaster them everywhere. And now I hope they didn't order them in bulk.
It's sad, man. I was looking forward to seeing all the slapheads on Hotspur.
I was actually talking myself around to it. I was like, you know what? The guys that I've spoken to about it, they say that his main thing was improving players, because apparently final score is actually quite crap, and he raised their level so much. They got to the European final last year, got to the Europa quarterfinals this year, and were beaten by Mourinho in extra time, and you can't really do much about that if you've got a crap squad. They've just won the Eredivisie title as well, which is quite impressive considering the kind of the relative riches of Ajax and PSV, and now it's not going to happen. And now,
yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame. I'm just having a look through the list of players now, and it's sort of nice that it's, you know, sort of unheard gems, I suppose, that he's obviously just had a little tinker around with and got the best out of. I don't know, it just feels like very much a Groundhog Day experience. Am I saying that right? Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the right phrase.
Have you never seen the film?
No, I never saw the film.
But you know the phrase?
I know the phrase.
Yeah, it's about... Do you know what the premise of it is?
Feels like things are happening again and again, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's this guy going to do a report on Groundhog Day, which is like some minor holiday event in the US, and he keeps waking up in the same day until he makes someone fall in love with him, he breaks the cycle or something like that.
Is there any chance of that happening in sort of Spurs terms or nah?
What, breaking the cycle?
Yeah.
Doubt it.
Doubt it. fuck, man.
We're here forever. Yeah. It's just, it's more alarming because it's happened twice now.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with Paul was, well, at least we've got time to make sure this doesn't happen again. And it's happened again. And
it has happened again.
You know, you start to wonder, where are we really going with life?
Who are we going to go for? Are we going to go for Brandy Babs? Are we going to go for Luis Enrique? You know, it's very scattergunner.
I don't have strong feelings about anyone really left in the running.
That's their fault. They've done this to us.
They've worn me down.
Yeah, because I was thinking about it in sort of terms of there are people who are very much like, oh, we should try and get seventh place, and you know, get, you know, European football's better than no football. And I just sort of looked at it from a purely sort of worked and burnt out view. In that,
you know what?
Yeah, if we don't have to watch a Spurs game on a Thursday against Plovdiv or Shkendia, yeah, then you know, have that night off each week.
Show some respect. That was actually the Europa League.
Sorry, mate. Sorry. Of course, but it was.
We're not getting that either.
It is a conference tie. Let's be real.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Shkendia. Big club, big fans, but.
Yeah, I'm now kind of accepting that we won't be in Europe next season. And as much as I would like to win a European trophy, and I don't think we should turn our noses up at the Conference League, I think we need, if we're going to bottom out, we need to properly bottom out. We need to completely kind of reset this and make sure that next year is more about kind of setting the foundations right, because I've always kind of been coy about Spurs dropping out of the Big Six, be it like, oh, that's it, they're running, it is over. I've always been coy on that because we've always come back stronger one way or another, and that is how tough it is. And I think the likes of Newcastle next season, Brighton maybe next season, if you know, if they were to lose to Zerbi, for example, I think once you get to that end of the table, it is harder to kind of replicate that kind of domestic consistency.
Yeah, I think so, especially now when the almost sort of the opportunity for any team is
closing.
Not level, obviously, but like there are ways that teams can go out and make a big difference and improve quite a marked distance in just one season, which you don't want to look at Newcastle and think that gives me hope, because you know there's some other stuff going on over there.
Yeah, did you like all the pieces that came out on Monday night after the qualify for the Champions League? It was like,
what a
fairy tale,
incredible,
you know?
Story for the hard work. Yeah, I mean, they are hard working people. I won't slag off an interesting but it's not the most heartwarming thing.
It was very much IT crowd. My father gave me two things.
Yeah,
it's like a belief and all this money.
Yeah, and £10 million. Yeah, yeah. £10 million. Yeah.
Yeah, very much that. So
yeah, incredible. I mean, Brighton's the sexier way to go about it for sure. And they seem to have just adopted a model. I mean, Spurs never really had a model of just plucking every South American gem out there, but they had a model where they targeted young players.
Yeah, it was. And I don't, yeah,
them and
it was.
Give them chances.
And it was very weird that we kind of moved away from that and lost sight of that. Levy wrote in the programme notes 2 years ago that we'd lost sight of that and then proceeded to lose sight of it even further, so it is what it is.
What conclusions can you make from such a string of poor decisions?
Yeah, I think I should be the director of football, really.
I think you do a good job, mate. I think you can direct football out on the pitch and off the pitch.
I know which players to sign. Let me get the EA Sports FIFA data sort by potential.
Yeah, but you'd be looking at it from like 5 years ago. That's the problem. So you'd be looking at like the managers on FIFA.
I'm in the FIFA 15 database.
Yeah, and then Mourinho would somehow still be the best manager in the game, and you'd think, let's go and get that whopper.
Did you see Mourinho's comments today then?
Yeah.
I actually, when I first like saw them aggregated, I was a bit kind of, everyone's really piling on. I actually understand what he said. Yeah, when you actually read like the whole thing he said and why he said it, it was basically... He was trying. He said, like, "I don't want to disrupt the Tottenham fans, but I didn't have the connection because of COVID and stuff. Like, it was harder to kind of, because most of his reign was behind closed doors." Mm. And I would get that he would be aggrieved over not taking charge of the cup final, because it was a weird time to do it. Like, I always say that he should have gone weeks before, and that's why he shouldn't have been able to manage the cup final. But to do it in the week leading up was strange. Trying to new manager bounce your way to a cup final win against Man City is. Some strategy.
Didn't happen. I think we've all seen that graph of money Mace next to Pep.
Games played, including this one.
Yeah, or games managed, including this one. Just the 1-700 or however many it was. But man, that's what you get. Like, if you don't have that proper vision, there are always chances to win silverware, and that was one of them. But there was no real clear you know, directive at the time. It was just sort of tragic stuff from here to there. And man, wouldn't it be, it'd just be fabulous to have someone in the summer just come in and just be like, let's just do it this way.
Yeah.
Nothing too bloody smokescreeny about it. I don't want to. Do you remember when they dragged Nuno out to make him say the line? It was like, I promise we're going to make you proud. Yeah. And like, you could see all the, just the doubt and the, the disbelief in his eyes. Like, this isn't going to happen.
He stumbles over it a little bit. Like,
he's like, yeah.
It's not words that he necessarily would have used. It'd
be funny if they got someone to do that again, though. You know.
Can't rule it out. It sounds like, we'll talk about some of the contenders. I think one name kind of coming up a bit more is the current Wolves boss, Julen Lopetegui, who, to his credit, is a bit more successful over the course of his career than Nuno was, even if the career paths are a little similar. He was at Sevilla before he won the Europa League at Sevilla, to his credit, against Antonio Conte as well, I should add. His goal records, the clubs he's been at, have not always been amazing. That is the thing that really scares me, because that was the same with Nuno. For as good defensively as his teams could be, they were quite a boring watch, and that would strike the same kind of fear into me. So I don't really want to be stuck in that again. Other contenders, you talked about Brendan Rodgers. Dear God.
I just don't. I don't know what the project would be with Brendan Rodgers. That's the only.
It feels like giving up a bit. Issue. Like,
yeah.
I talked to our good friend Matt O'Connor Simpson, who's now of goal, a few weeks ago, and he's always been kind of, as much of a meme Rodgers is, he kind of defends him. I actually kind of defend him to some extent, in that because he is such a meme, it looks past all the good work that he did. Like Leicester, he elevated the players to be in the position to be close to Champions League qualification. They probably should have got over the line at least one of the years, but
yeah.
Fifth place finish for Leicester doesn't come round ever. He won an FA Cup against the Chelsea team that would go and win the Champions League a couple of weeks later. And yet, we know exactly what Brendan Rodgers is, and he's not going to change.
The main problem I think I have is that like his squad's ultimately decaying in quite a bad way.
And the defending gets really comical.
The defending,
and you could see that. You'd see, we might be like, good for like 2-3 months, and you could see Spurs like actually being in the top six again. But the goal record now is just, you see the stat.
It's just
first team since 07-08 Spurs to score and concede at 116 a season.
It's bad.
That team won a trophy at least.
Yeah, that is true. Big Johnny Woodgate in defence. I mean, I hope like whoever the manager that comes in is at least treated to one new centre back. You know,
it'd be nice.
That would be, I think,
for you, my friend.
It's quite a clear deficiency that they have at the moment. So. We'll see. That new one might just end up being Clement Longley, and then it's, you know, good luck. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't remember if I said it in the last pool review, but I've kind of gone back and forth on keeping him, because if we keep him, then it's like it would allow us to shift Dier and Sanchez, because there's some kind of continuity. You're not just bringing in a whole load of centre backs. The problem would be, I think that he's going to age quite quickly and poorly in the next 2-3 years, and then it's like, okay, how do we get him off the books now?
I think that's true.
So it's one of the things, it's just like swapping.
Does a lot of defending with his hands.
Yeah.
It's a weird sort of approach. It's like, that's not how you nick
the ball. Yeah, he didn't cover himself in glory the weekend either.
Did he not?
He was not good.
That doesn't surprise me.
I didn't know that. You just told me now for the first time.
For the first time. Oh, American politics is pretty wild.
Should we rebrand?
No, I don't like this. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I don't like this. Ron DeSantis bloke, but that's nothing to do
that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Hopefully neither Clint Dempsey nor DeAndre Yedlin will be voting for him.
Brad Friedel.
Brad's got his head screwed on, right? I'm sure.
Casey Keller,
perhaps.
Ted Lasso,
he's too lovable and weird to know anything about politics, isn't he?
John Cena. I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
where were we? American politics.
Spurs.
We're on Spurs. This is a Spurs podcast. Yeah,
we should actually rebrand to a Brighton and Brentford podcast.
I mean,
Brighton are going to be in Europa League next season. You were there last night as they secured Europa League qualification.
Now it's just the time where I get to talk about the nice football. Yeah. And we'll do yours in a second.
Oh, yeah,
well,
I'm looking forward to my one, actually.
You know, Brentford actually beat Spurs recently. Yeah.
Without their best player.
Without their best player. But yeah, I mean, Yves Bissouma's probably at Spurs thinking like, how could I have foreseen this?
He had a good game on Saturday though.
He's definitely like he's putting together some performances that sort of hint at something he should be good
next season. I'm not giving up on him for sure.
Though. Oh no, I think he's just had one, you know, annoying injury and a bad season for the rest of the team, and it's just I can't wait until we clear that midfield out of cloggers, to be honest, really, and start, you know.
I really regret to inform you. I am more certain than anything. I am so certain that Højbjerg and Skip are starting in the first game of next season.
What? Nah. Not if we want to like win games.
I've got some bad news for you, pal.
Jesus, is this really how we're doing this? Nah, makes sense to be fair. But I hope maybe we get a smidge of a Bissouma Bentancur access one point.
Oh, I guarantee Bentancur's gonna come back cropped as well. So
yeah,
it never ends.
So you know there is a cracker light somewhere because that's how the light has to get in. But I just don't know. I can't find it. It's pitch black at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're like the divers in Chernobyl. They're going under the open nuclear reactor. Oh, I see the light. Oh no, it's the radiation.
Oh
shit.
No, it's just a green glow.
Oh no.
What is this? This is another thumb coming out of my arm. Oh well. Yeah, Brighton was great. Awesome team. But I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Spurs 1, Brentford 3, which happened on the Saturday, which you were at.
Yeah, the first half was really good, to be fair. I think there was a lot of positivity after the first half. Spurs kept making chances, new system, the 4-2-3-1, it's actually working. Kulusevski in the tens looks good. Bissouma looks really good. The downside was we didn't take our chances, and that kind of came back to haunt us. And there's a little tidbit that you get from being in the match. So I was sat right in front of Brentford analysts, because there's a bit on the press bit where the analysts sit behind you, and it was Kevin O'Connor, and who's like one of the assistants, and then their main analyst, and they were relaying this message to the bench that midfielder Frank Onyeka was getting too high up the pitch and he was clogging the areas where Brian and Burma should have been in the first half. Onyeka comes off at half time, he's replaced by Mikael Damsgaard. Damsgaard is not getting in those same positions, and Burma scores two goals within about 20 minutes of the restart. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that is something that Brentford thought a lot about how to hurt Spurs. I think that when they probably saw the lineup and saw that it was Davis and Longley on the same side in the back four, I think they would have been thinking, oh great, and Burma's in form, he might actually do something. And then Skippy kind of gives them the ball for the third goal as well, and it's just not
guessing. It was sort of great. Done by that point though.
I think it was one of those games where Spurs could have been out there for another 2-3 hours, and I don't think they were scoring that second half. Richarlison came close in stoppage time, but Ray made a couple of good saves. But generally the first half really good, and then Spurs just kind of ran out of steam. But I think Ryan Mason articulated it quite well post match, to be fair. Like, I think he's actually quite a smart guy. I don't think he should be the permanent manager, but I think he's got the makings of a good manager, and the way that he came out and it kind of described it as you need the kind of consistency of training and intensity, and that's maybe why Spurs ran out of steam. And he said it, I think he said the first two thirds of the season were so kind of disruptive, and they were so kind of what's going on, that that's had a real bad impact on the kind of the foundations that we've been trying to build. And I do have some sympathy for him, because he's all right, we've only had one win under him, but there's been more signs of life. The problem is that everything else is dead, and it's a bit like sepsis, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, the results he has had as well have been sort of, yeah, there's been positives, but then they've also been embarrassing as well. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that Liverpool one was just sort of like, well, they've dragged it all the way back, and then what's the point, you know, at the very end? Like,
it's really funny, to be fair.
And it's just
it's very funny, I can't even imagine. Yeah. We weren't fighting for anything.
No. I mean, that's the problem though. Like, well, not the problem, but they could have been if they hadn't. Like, I genuinely think only this last
third was, for a long time.
Yeah, like I was chatting to a mate about this the other day, and it was sort of like, well, everyone's saying the Spurs were having a really like poor season, and like obviously at this point, you know, they are, but it wasn't that long ago that they were sort of in and amongst it, and like if the season hadn't exploded catastrophically, they might have still been in with a chance.
Yeah,
that's all irrelevant.
Well, we remember we had that. We had,
it did.
Yeah, we had our best start to Premier season ever.
Yeah,
And all we had to do was not be completely, totally.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shit. And we couldn't even do that.
Yeah. Because it's not a high bar for Champions League this year.
No, it never usually is. When you think of, like, what's the kind of average kind of point you need, like, to get fourth? It's like 70-ish.
Yeah, 70-ish. But I'd say, like, yeah, a third, you'd usually look at it about, like, 76, 77.
Yeah, it's like first now is, like, 95. Second is about 85.
Yeah.
Third 75 to 80, and then fourth 70-ish. But when you think about how many kind of times you need to drop points to clear 70, like, there's a lot of margin for error. It's just we've managed to somehow screw that as well. Like, yeah. Even last year, romping our way to fourth. I think we got 71 last year, I think, in the end it was.
That sounds about right.
Think about how poorly we started under Nuno, and then there were periods under Conte as well, like in the spring where he was threatening to walk, and how many points dropped there. You have a lot of room to kind of fuck around.
Yeah, especially when you look at the amount of games there that Newcastle and Man United haven't won.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Newcastle have. I know they've drawn 13 games, or whatever, but they also haven't won.
Well, they've endeavoured to, like, open the door to Liverpool in the last few weeks, and it wasn't until Liverpool drew with Villa at the weekend that it kind of killed it.
Yeah,
Liverpool had to win 7 in a row to do that.
But they still, like, made it all the way up after such a horrendous start to the year, didn't they?
And they're going
to
enjoy the Europa League next season.
They will enjoy the Europa League next year. Yeah. But this is, I mean, this is the I don't know how many or when the last time Spurs would have lost 14 games in a season is.
We came close in the Champions League final, yeah. But that was because
it was undrawable.
Yeah, it was the undrawables for a long time. Then we had two at the end.
Yeah.
But that was, to your point, we won loads of games.
Yeah, that was the it balanced that's what out, made it fine, yeah, because they won loads at the start of the year, and then people were like, title challenge, maybe?
What's our points tally? 57.
That is so low.
For Tottenham.
Yeah.
And I don't... Do you think we're going to beat Leeds on Sunday? I don't think we're going to beat Leeds on Sunday.
Well, I've said for a while that I don't really know when the next win's coming from. So, like, this is the case on... which one was that one? Definitely for the Brentford game before. Although I think I actually wrote the preview and said Spurs might win 3-2.
I remember editing that, yeah.
Yeah.
But it kind of set up for that, because I thought Brentford were a little bit on the beach in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't watching it live, but I saw a little highlight of the goal, the Kane free kick, and I was all like, oh, well, this sort of points in one direction. Let's see if, you know, but obviously that was the wrong thought to make or to have, because it rarely works out like that. But I can't remember, when the last time they would have got a points tally that low would have been 57.
Even in...
Like, when Mu got sixth, how many did he get?
It was still over 60.
He got 59. That was 59.
Okay.
So
we're fighting to clear that bar.
This is massive actually now.
Oh my
god. This weekend is massive, because if Manny Mace gets the win, then, you know, he beats Mourinho's 1920 season in charge of Spurs.
57 points. We were like third in like November.
Yeah, what are we getting in 2021? We got 62. So we can't beat the season we finished seventh in. And we got 62 points, I don't think.
This will be... It's definitely our second lowest tally since 08, 09, I think, when we came eighth.
It's awful.
The last time that we didn't qualify for Europe.
Eighth? What year was that?
Harry Redknapp's first year.
Oh, yeah, of course. They staved off relegation, didn't they?
Mm.
Bloody hell!
But then, yeah, there's still a chance we could finish as low as ninth.
We can only go to ninth, yeah.
Okay.
It's seventh, eighth, or ninth.
And I quietly think... Brentford might actually do Man City.
I think. I mean, having been in the game yesterday, I was going to write something to the effect of. I didn't in the end. Didn't in the end, because I thought it might be libelous. But I was going to write something like, City seemed like they'd had a few beers in the last few days. And then I reneged on saying that. And then Pep just came out and said, like, oh yeah, we drank all the alcohol in Manchester. So that kind of makes sense to me.
Did they look as if they didn't really want it then? Like, were they?
No, it wasn't that. Because I think if that was it, I think Brighton would have streaked ahead and actually won by a couple of more. Really,
what they did. What
Brighton didn't really need it either, though.
No, they didn't, but I think they were quite dogged in the way that they just kept hounding Gundogan and Silva in the middle.
It's trying to make a statement with anything.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for sure, for sure. And I think they needed that last big result at home anyway.
Did Stones go off injured?
I don't think it was injured. No, he seemed to have like a sort of arm around Pepe as he came off.
I was thinking, what if Pep just wrapped everyone in cotton wool for Brentford and now the focus is on the two cup finals?
I mean, it makes
sense. I feel that's possible.
Yeah. I mean, going down the substitute bench as well, there was like one senior City player, like everyone else. It was a really strong lineup, like starting team, but every other sort of alternative or, you know, swap in player that they had been left at home.
Yeah.
It was a load of like youngsters I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah. So,
but I could see that. There's no Ivan, of course, though, and he scored those goals when
he did. But Brentford have played, I think it's 5 games now this season without Tony, and they've won. They've not lost. They've won most of them as well. So, but well, they beat us. They beat Liverpool.
They beat Liverpool. Yeah, of course.
Without Tony, so it's possible. I really think that we might finish below Brentford, and Brentford might get to the Conference League if Brian don't lose at Villa.
Imagine that. We're gonna have, you know, we've backed a horse that seemed really big and strong, and now these two sort of younger and cooler horses are streaking ahead while our old horse is about to be taken behind.
These horses were in League One not too long ago.
They really were. Brighton were playing in a skip in a landfill two years ago.
You were saying it's only fitting they should go back to the Wivdene for these European games.
It really should. It would add a sense of occasion.
It really would. It would make you feel like it's a proper European tie.
See,
I mean that in like the non-ironic way.
Yeah.
But we're looking for some of the teams that Brighton could play in Europa League. Good. Like, I think Sporting are in it.
I think they'll get a decent sort of heavyweight stage.
They'll probably be pot four.
They'll be low down.
So
I don't think they have a UEFA coefficient.
No. Same as Newcastle. Yeah, exactly. Like Newcastle are pot four for Champions League. So.
Yeah, which makes it fun.
But this is going to hammer our coefficient as well now.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to drop
down. No more pot two Champions League.
Yeah.
I think we should probably focus on getting back there.
Maybe in 10 years or so. Although I thought that the last time they got knocked down the Champions League.
This is what I mean. Like,
you need to stop being so bloody bipolar about
all
it.
All you have to do is not be completely and utterly shit. You can be shit just a little bit and you can get away with it because we have this established place in the Big Six. And I don't know if you saw, but I was getting hammered by Newcastle fans the other day.
Oh, really?
So I did the kind of the Brentford record at the Big Six this season. It was really good. And Newcastle fans were really annoyed because I didn't include when Newcastle beat them 5-1. Like, you didn't put a Newcastle in there. It's like, yeah, you're not part of the Big Six. You're in the top six right now. Like I said, there's every chance that Newcastle could finish third against next season. They could finish eighth. Neither thing would surprise me. You have to consistently do it, is my point. Newcastle will have to play more than once a week. Brighton will have to play more than once a week as well. Like, you have to go through these kind of motions of playing your strongest team as much as possible, and that kind of wipes you out a bit.
Yeah, things aren't rosy forever, are they?
Exactly. So my point was, yeah, we've had the consistency of being here before. Now it looks like more than ever, though, that there is a path to not coming back from it, because there are clubs with more money, there are clubs with more appeal, and this shithousery has been going on for long enough that I think it was the report from Athletic today saying that he's actually putting off managers. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh,
well. Why, for example, one of the managers of Brighton or Brentford want to look over to Spurs right now?
There'd be no point, would there?
It would be pure monetary reasons.
Yeah, that's genuinely it. I mean, it sounds like Brentford are a lot smarter in terms of their coaching and on pitch and in-game tactics, you know, from what you said about the monitor there. I don't think Spurs are really doing any of that stuff.
What a novel idea.
I don't think, nobody's taken notes on the Spurs touchline since Moo and his little pad that you had.
It's quite Paul Ince shoot.
Yeah.
when he started to start, press, and no one really knew what to do because he had coached it.
Yeah, I feel like if you're shouting that, then the players sort of have no idea that that's what they should be doing in the first place. And maybe you just came up with that on the side.
Oh, why did I think of that? Genius. Why did I think of that?
But yeah, what other Spurs nonsense has there been?
There's been too much nonsense.
Yeah, there has been. It's genuinely taken it out.
Kane might go.
Yeah, Kane might go.
Do you know what makes me kind of laugh, but cry, but laugh? You know, in the Amazon doc where
you realise that they have the in the canteen, they have Sky Sports News on all the time. The thought of the guys being at breakfast and looking up at the screen and they're like, "Where are we getting this slot guy? What the hell's going on?" Like Kane's looking at it gormlessly, he's like, "What?" Just like, good God. Fucking hell. Probably chair, mate.
Yeah, well, there's a horrible square underneath the table that I can't seem to fit on. But that's another goal for Kane at the weekend, isn't it? That's 28 now.
Got 31, yeah, didn't he?
He has scored in more Premier League games in one single season than anyone ever. That's a new record. He broke the record for most head goals of the season a couple of weeks ago. All these records tumbling and it means fuck all.
I know. Genuinely see these tweets when they come out and they're like, it's the most goals scored against most opponents, and it's sort of, they look quite sheepish, don't they? They're quite sheepish tweets, as if like, is there?
We know what's going on. We know what the deal is. It's just really sad. Like, I don't see why he would. I think that what he should do is run down his contract and leave on a free next year.
Yeah,
and that would at least kind of get. I think Spurs would be hopeful that they could try and persuade him. But I think if I'm him, I'm steadfast. And like, unless it's like a miracle, we actually win a trophy next year. At this point, look like a miracle.
So you're saying there's a chance?
1%. Yeah, I think that's what I would do. Like, because then he could have his pick of clubs. Because I think like the clubs that would even be interested in trying to buy him right now. I think United doesn't feel like a guarantee of success as I thought they were even a few months ago. The caveat to that would be if you add Kane to the mix, then that kind of raises the level a lot. But City probably aren't going to try and buy him. But if they were trying to get him for free, maybe they're just like, we'll take a punt. We'll pair him with Haaland. We'll see what we can do with it. I always said that Real Madrid would be a good one because it feels like Benzema's maybe only got one or two more years at the top level in him. He's been injured a lot this season. He looked completely out of sorts in the Champions League semi-finals.
It's quite and feel, like as well.
Yeah, it feels like kind of wouldn't kind of disrupt that flow. You think it'd be perfect to play with Vinicius, like, and if Mbappe goes there as well, it's like the Kane to Son combination, but twice and even better.
Yeah, that's quite dizzying actually.
I'm trying to work out how.
I'm just getting Kane over the top to Sterling. Yeah. You know that game against Spain where they went on 1-1?
Yeah.
I always think of that when like I'm thinking Kane at his best, like sort of drop off passing when he had Sterling and maybe Saka or Sancho.
Saka, I think. Maybe Saka played a lot at the Euros.
Yeah, but they were just brilliant. Where he was just going.
Yeah.
Like Vinicius and Mbappe with Kane clipping balls over the top.
Bella's in midfield.
That is a mid. Bella's in midfield. Yeah. This isn't Spurs, by the way. I wish it was. We're not going to sign Vinicius and Mbappe. And
well, we got PS5 in the office now. I might load up some career mode. We can make it happen.
We can make it. This is. That would look too sad to the rest of the office, though, surely.
Guys, look. All you got to do is this.
Just go into settings and then just take this player from here. That's all you've got, a 5-star team.
Just stop it there. Leeds at the weekend, I suppose. You're working on the Sunday, right? You're part of the Sunday crew.
Yeah, I'm a Brentford Man City, though, so...
Oh, I see.
I will not be tuning in.
All right, I think I've plugged myself down to tune in because you're not tuning in, so...
Sucker.
Yeah, I'm not feeling amazing about that. But Leeds could make it really fun, and that's sort of what I'm praying for.
Leeds are fighting for something.
Exactly, so I think, you know, they could just pour forward.
Leeds fighting for something at Elland Road. Against a team that has been awful on the road this season.
I think there should be fireworks.
But not for us.
Not for us, no. I don't really know how to view it from a Spurs perspective, really.
You know, the only thing we can hope for is that Leeds are completely pointless.
Yeah.
Like they were at West Ham last week. They went 1-0 up and they just started vomiting all over themselves and... Have no idea. They have no idea how to attack. They get into these kind of good areas and then they've got no one with even like a little bit of danger. Which actually makes it amazing. They scored 3 at our stadium in the season.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's probably one of the more fun games of the season. The last game before the World Cup, we had that late turnaround. Yeah. Bentancur got the double. Kulusevski looked amazing. It was probably the best game that he's played all season.
Yeah, they were bad though, weren't they? I mean, Spurs were bad, but they were... I could not defend whatsoever. But they're like, that's like another squad that's just been sort of broken apart by so many manager changes over the last few years that they just...
They're none of them right.
Yeah, they got nothing right. They don't really know how to play, so... I know, I do feel like it could be quite agricultural. You know, nobody, no team has any idea how they're supposed to play, so
yeah.
it could be anything.
My new favourite meme quote thing is Sam Allardyce saying, "Here we are again," when he gets to the Etihad. Here we are again.
We're back and we're ready to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed for a nice finish there, mate. Fingers crossed for a better result from Brentford.
It would be class if other teams were in Europe next season and we were.
I'm praying for a Brighton-Brentford Europa League final, quite frankly. At one point, unfortunately. Can't happen this year, can it?
Well, if Brighton drop into the Conference League.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Is that they...
Yeah.
I genuinely...
You finish third, you drop into the Conference League.
I see.
That's what happened to Leicester last season.
Ah, so it is really like a multiverse thing. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that you know, just getting around the Champions League into Europa League makes me spin out. But another one? Good lord.
I always made it the point that if you finish fourth in the Champions League, you should be relegated to the Conference League. It gives incentive to not do that. You want to play your way out of Europe? Tough, buddy. You're playing in February regardless.
You're playing in the Conference League knockout playoff round. That's what they should do. Fourth place in Champions League straight into a knockout playoff against Credit Zvezda, Red Star Belgrade.
Thanks for helping with that.
I know you're not that switched on.
That's the fan they're treating you. All the sugar.
Oh, yeah.
You picked it up thinking it was diet. You were wrong.
It's sort of done... It's levelled my head out for now, which is obviously nice. One of the advantages of sugary drinks, you know. I have this awful feeling that it's going to absolutely destroy me when we're playing golf later.
Yeah, we're going junkyard golf. Junkyard golf.
Don't worry. I don't use a pitching wedge or a fucking driver or... I don't know what else they use in golf.
You can use a driver in the junkyard golf, I'm sure. I think that'd be fun with it.
That works. Just the little putts for me. The plastic bats.
What, a cricket bat?
I was just going to use my feet, actually. What are you going to do? What do you reckon? What score do you reckon you'll get at golf?
I'm not that good at it.
Yeah, but what score? Having no idea what the score is. Or how
105.
Golf score. Alright, cool. Oh, I'm gonna thrash you.
No, I am utterly horrendous at, especially like the mini golf. I've never done golfing in my life. I've only done like, you know, Putt Shack.
Yeah.
I went on a date there a couple of years ago and I got absolutely slaughtered. I felt really I was like, oh jeez.
I want some pizza at Putt Shack, actually.
Did you?
That is the place where you take your shot and like there's a video that whirls around the round.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it like lands on one prize.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Landed on pizza. Sure. And then I'll never hit a hole in one again or just hit a putt well. But it went in. And we had some pretty average pizza.
You might win tonight then.
Fingers crossed. That's what it's all about, winning. Which Tottenham just cannot do right now.
It all comes full circle.
We were working towards something.
We're so wisdomless.
Unlike Tottenham.
What was I doing recently? I think it was on... I was on another podcast where I somehow managed everything, every lesson in life can always come back to some kind of nonsense to do with Spurs. That is the lesson.
Because supporting Spurs is... Oh no, it's not morale, but it's character building. It's, you know, seeing how
I think we're past that now. I have enough character, actually.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a simulation. Who knows?
Oh God, I really hope so, actually.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really nice.
Be cool.
Just shut it off. Another job, well done. Okay. Okay, I think we're done here.
Are we?
It's getting hot now.
Yeah, it's getting hot.
You tried to open the windows.
There are no handles. There's stuff sellotaped onto the wall, but I don't know what it is. It's okay. Not a handle.
Yeah, all right, we're done.
I need to get outside.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We'll be back with a season review next week, hopefully. Hopefully by then, this not some kind of nonsense is over. Thank you, we'll see you next time. Oh, what a night. Watching Tottenham on a Tuesday night. You play Thursday, cause you're... What a fool.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.